are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars. Joining me now, we've got Jeremy Andrus, president and CEO at Traeger Wood Fired Grills. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.
All the way from Salt Lake City, just zipping through LA for
you
the day.
Here with you guys today.
I love it. So tell us about your business.
So Traeger Grills is a 30-year-old brand. And it is the best consumer product that no one's ever heard of. And it's a really, really simple solution that makes people really happy. It's a barbecue grill for your backyard that uses all natural hardwood pellets as the fuel and the flavor source. And you use it to bake pizzas, do pulled pork, cook your steaks, your veggies. And What is remarkable about Traeger is that people that have it consistently say, my Traeger changed my life.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a big statement.
A grill in your backyard. Grilling. Who would have thunk, right?
Yeah. So cool. Okay. So this company, like you said, has been around for 30 plus years, yep. But you acquired it when?
Acquired it about 3.5 years ago.
So what made you want to get into this business?
You know what? Having spent my career in consumer products and hard goods, one of the things that I've realized as an entrepreneur is that it's hard to create magic. And so in my years at Skullcandy, we figured out how to create magic, and it grew like crazy to 8 to 80 countries around the world. But as I look back, I realize that that process is, it's not perfect. It's not entirely predictable. And I found this little business in Oregon, and what I heard from Traeger owners just blew my mind. I mean, literally, they would say, this is the best thing I've ever owned. They would say, it has changed my life. And so when I found that, I said, the magic has been created. Now we've got to scale it.
So it's kind of like looking for the magic is your
Absolutely.
Piece of advice when it comes to really growing a business. So how do you identify the magic?
You know, from a consumer's perspective, I think it's a couple of things. First of all, you know, we interact with hundreds of brands every day. And the reality is that most brands fit a need, but they don't do that much for a consumer. And so if you can create something that is highly satisfying, in a way that is incredibly differentiated from other things out there, you've got a winner. And I think being different and being disruptive as an entrepreneur is everything. If you're trying to sell something that looks like every other widget or product or service on the market, it's just hard to win.
So is that just luck coming upon an idea, or is that something that you can conjure up in your mind, this disruptive product or service or whatever it is as an entrepreneur that you're aiming to create?
You know, I think great entrepreneurs learn to see the world through a different set of lenses. And so if you ever ask a customer what they're looking for, they'll tell you something, but they won't really understand what they need. And so oftentimes I think it requires knowing your customer really, really well, better than any of your competitors, observing how they behave, and then creating a solution that actually identifies a problem for them. And so you create a solution, and if it's great and it's just disruptive, a consumer says, oh my gosh, I never would have guessed this, but this is the best thing now. Got to really understand your consumers to disrupt them.
Yeah, great advice. And obviously, this isn't your first rodeo. Like right. you mentioned, yep. alluded to, yep. you helped build Skullcandy, which became wildly successful. And so tell us a little bit about that journey. Let's start at the very
sure.
beginning
sure.
when you became one of the co-founders.
Well, you know, I was living in San Francisco, and I'm riding the bus into the office of the financial district and not loving what I was doing there. And one of the and so I'm always observing trends. And one of the trends I observed in 2003 was these white cables that connected to this novel product called an iPod. And that was a big deal then. There was no portable music. It was the Sony Walkman back
in
the day.
I totally remember when I saw my first iPod. I was like, whoa.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
And so I would see one of these flowing white cables, and then they would multiply. And, you know, a year into it, half the people on the bus would have an iPod.
Yeah.
And so I had that experience, and I was out snowboarding in Park City, Utah for a weekend. And I met a guy that was integrating audio and mobile phone technology into snowboarding helmets. And that was the beginning. It was about portable music in snowboarding gear on the mountain.
And that's where the idea
was where it started. Yeah. And of course, you know, I think you learn as an entrepreneur, you start with vision, you see a need and you start with vision, but being opportunistic around where it can take you is really important. And so we thought we're going to be an integrated audio company. You know, we were integrating audio into snowboard helmets and into the straps of backpacks with speakers and subs, into sneaker bags, things like that. And what we decided is that what Skullcandy really needed to do was build a headphone brand that appealed to this sort of this young mid-teen consumer that just didn't find any other brand that fit his needs.
Interesting. Okay, so you had the idea, but the idea is just the beginning. What were some of those first steps to making this idea a reality?
Well, you know, I think first of all, you spend a lot of time with consumers. And at Skullcandy, we were a big believer that great ideas weren't found sitting behind a desk. So we spent time on chairlifts, on the mountain with our consumers, and just really understanding them and observing them in habitat. And then we started to develop product. And it's a very iterative process, especially when you haven't spent time in China before. So we'd concept a China, we'd concept a product, we'd trade it back and forth with agents in China, we'd fly over there, we'd walk trade shows, and you slowly figure these things out. I mean, there are a million books and case studies on how to build a product, how to take a product to market, but the reality is that you, as an entrepreneur, you figure it out. You just start pounding the pavement and you learn some of the hard lessons, but it's just the best way to learn and to figure out a better way to do it.
And then you grew the revenue in that company to what, 300?
300 million sales,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes. So I'm sure there was a lot to that, but give us a few little nuggets on what it takes to scale a business that much.
So I think what you find when a business starts to grow is that your pain points move. And so, you know, early on, the pain point was we didn't know where to build the product. And so we go over to China and we start taking buses around southern China, talking to factories. And then you find a place to build it and you realize you got to finance it. You got to raise money. And it's a totally different thing. And then once you've raised money and you finance it, you have to figure out how to sell it and how to build a brand. And so I think what happens is entrepreneurs start with a great vision and then they figure out how to execute it by building a team. And there are a million things that happen in the process, but if you can connect a great vision and learn the art of building a team, that's ultimately how you scale a business.
So then, of course, I have to ask you, what's the art to building a great team?
You know, I wish it was more scientific, but I think a couple of things happen. The first is that you start to learn how you build an organization. What are the functions that you need? What is the process for putting it together? But the intangible, and I think where you really win, is in how you select people. You know, because I think you learn this quality, and it is a learned quality, and it's a little bit of an instinct as well, which is finding winning characteristics in people. And if you hire people that figure out how to go through a brick wall to get something done, and you put all of the right people together, that is the magic of scaling a business. And honestly, it's like over time, I've just gotten better at it. Over time, you start to recognize these winning characteristics in people.
Well, and of course, that's the challenge is when you're hiring people, you have such little exposure to them. So recognizing those characteristics can be tricky. You obviously have gotten better at it. So how have you gotten better at identifying these characteristics?
So part of it is that I think there are really a couple of things. One is that you learn how to ask the right questions. You get really, really clear on what this person needs to do for your company. And you get really prepared on the questions that you ask that person. And by the way, it's like every resume looks good. And so I don't hire based on resume. In fact, you know, what I focus a lot more than sort of resume attributes are cultural attributes. Because I really think, you know, every company can find good people, but the secret sauce on a team is creating culture that helps people not only make decisions, but it inspires them to be their best selves. So that's the one piece. Like, be super prepared and focus on culture more than anything. And actually, I think it starts with figuring out what your own value system is. And so we defined our values very, very clearly. And we connected the vision of the business with the cultural values that we wanted people to live by. And the cynical side of me has learned that people don't change that much. Like, we are who we are. And so as an entrepreneur, if you can screen for those values and bring the right people in the door, you don't need people to change.
All such good stuff. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about business school, whether it's necessary, whether it's not, all that good stuff. We are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-993-8236. That's 800-993-8236.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
That's 800-993-8236.
We are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. Welcome to Business Rockstars. We are continuing our conversation with the president and CEO of Traeger Grills. Now, I mentioned we're going to talk about business school, which we will get to in a second. But first, I want to talk about when you first acquired Traeger Grills. Within 6 months, you figured out, whoa, we've got a problem here.
We have some issues.
And it really meant starting over and basically letting go the majority of the employees that were already in place. So tell me about that time.
Well, you know, it was it was a hard part of my career. It wasn't what I thought I was signing up for. And I had this realization as I got on the inside and started to really try to build the values within the business and redirect it towards a different vision. I realized that a lot of people weren't really on the team. It was a job. There was infighting. There was a culture that wasn't conducive of sort of creating this aspirational desire to build something great. And I got 6 months into it and I had a day where I just said, this isn't working. This team, like there's just so many bodies buried behind the walls of this old business, as small as it was, and decided I had to start over. And so created a careful plan to really sequence rebuilding the team. And, we let 90% of the people go and relocated the business to Utah and effectively started over with people that I knew.
And that would be a lot of entrepreneurs' worst nightmare, because when as an entrepreneur, you want to move forward, but that feels like taking steps back. But sometimes that's necessary.
You have to rebuild.
To go forward.
You know, one of the hardest lessons I learned, and actually I learned it at Skull Candy early on. I remember hiring someone who on paper was fantastic. And from a skill set perspective was very good. But culturally, he wasn't good for the business. And I was able to rationalize, we need this guy, he's good. I don't want to have to go out and rehire this position. And ultimately, I look back and I realize it was a mistake because culturally, he was toxic in the business. And I think as an entrepreneur, learning that the glue that holds your business together is the culture and it's the people. And don't ever sacrifice that. Be willing to make hard decisions around people for the greater good of the team.
So you believe in the whole fire fast motto?
Absolutely. You know what? I realize that when you sit around, you're talking about someone and saying, this person's not working out. He or she is this or that. They're not, eventually you realize that you're just wasting your time because you never stop talking about that person. And so if there's someone that just isn't working, you just acknowledge that you don't get it right every time. and it's more art than science, make a move quickly.
Yeah. So let's go back to what we were talking about earlier with consumer products and how they really have to have that magic, that it factor, if you will. Yeah. I'm sure everyone's got their own name for it. But how do you relay that to the customer, that this product has magic, even though you haven't tried it yet and you need this?
Do you know, it's actually one of the hardest things I think you do. When you have something that's disruptive and is meaningful to a consumer, the good news is when you can communicate that to them, it's win.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
But the reality is that innovations take a lot of consumer education. And so at Traeger, we've got this solution that we think is going to disrupt outdoor cooking globally. Yeah, the problem is that no one knows what a wood pellet grill is. They just scratch their head and they have no idea. And so we've got 20 different ways that we communicate with our consumers. And so there's no single thing in a marketing plan that allows you to win. You recognize that consumers need a lot of different touch points. And the touch points aren't necessarily just from the company. They're coming from people in their circles of influence, from people who are influential on social media. And so we really think about how do we connect with our consumers in a lot of different ways, but principally in ways that are emotional to them.
Interesting. So let's go back to Skull Candy, because you helped take the company public, mm-hmm. correct? So yep. What was that like?
You know what? Boy, that was a ride. And I got to tell you, until you've tried it, I thought it was a badge of honor. It's something I'd always wanted to do before I did it.
A lot of companies. Yeah, that's the dream.
It sounds amazing until you and it was a great experience. I wouldn't trade that experience. And you go on an IPO roadshow and, for a kid that was used to sitting at the back of the airplane, and suddenly you're on this private airplane, you're traveling around to three cities a day and eating great food.
Wow, glamorous.
But you get glamorous until you get to the third day and you realize that everybody's asking you the same mindless questions.
Exhausting.
Exhausting. And then you wake up after your roadshow and you realize nothing's really different, except I now answer to a whole bunch of shareholders on Wall Street, to equity analysts and to hedge funds. And it's a great experience and you learn a lot of business discipline. The one thing that I really struggled with around the process of being a public company CEO is that when you're private, you obsess over your customer and their experience with the product at retail, when they open the box, all of the things that matter in business. And when you go public, you start to obsess over your financials and your quarter, and you get really good at storytelling what happened in the business, how you spin a negative to be a positive. And honestly, to me, that was a mindless activity. I love it so much more, just being a private business and doing what's right for the business.
Yeah, I think it's good as an entrepreneur to know what you want and why you want it, so you can choose the right fit for you.
Totally.
Okay, as promised, we are going to talk about business school.
Yep.
You have your MBA from Harvard, and obviously you don't regret it, love it, but you have an opinion on whether or not it's necessary.
I do. Yeah, I had a great experience at Harvard Business School. It's a tremendous place. You get a chance to not only learn a lot about leadership and about sort of topics where I had voids that I hadn't studied in the past, but most importantly, you meet really great people. And I love that. In fact, this weekend I was at my 15th Harvard Business School reunion. It's great to reconnect with people. I do think that, and I grew up wanting to go to Harvard. I decided at 14 years old I was going to Harvard Business School.
Oh, cool.
And they disagreed the first time I applied. So I had applied a second time. But I think that you really have to think long and hard about whether or not business school is right for you. What exactly are you trying to learn and to get done at business school? What do you expect to do there that you can't learn as an entrepreneur? Because I tell you that, like my first couple of years at Skull Candy, which was post business school, I learned way more as an entrepreneur than I learned sitting in classes reading case studies. And so I don't begrudge the experience that I had, but the reality is that it's expensive. It's not just financially expensive, but you take 2 years out of your career to do it. And so if you know exactly what you're trying to get done, I recommend it. It's a great experience. But as an entrepreneur, I don't think you have to.
Yeah. And every industry is very different and the background necessary to be successful in that industry. Let's talk about yours in particular, consumer products.
Yep.
Any advice that you would like to offer entrepreneurs for being successful in this field?
You know, as a consumer product entrepreneur, I think it's really important to observe behaviors in consumers. Innovation is ultimately what drives a consumer product. You know, we live in a very competitive world. And so I think figuring out how do you connect a consumer need with a product that really solves a problem that is not even close to anything else out on the market. If that's how your mind thinks, if you walk down the street seeing solutions to problems that consumers don't necessarily even know that they have, you're a consumer product guy.
That's great. I love it. Thank you so much for your time and stopping by. Really appreciate
it. Nice to be here,
of course. Awesome. We are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
With your Mayo Clinic Radio Health Minute, I'm Joel Streed. French fries, pizza, potato chips, and sweets with their added salt, fat, and sugar are tasty.
We like taste and convenience, and those foods generally fit that bill.
Unfortunately, they don't really fit into a healthy diet. Dietitian Catherine Zaratsky says these highly processed foods are often stripped of their nutritional value. But making the switch from junk food to healthier whole foods can be challenging. To start, Zaratsky suggests removing the temptation.
Instead of having those foods on your kitchen counter, maybe putting a bowl of fruit.
You can try gradually cutting back and pairing with a new food.
If you're wanting something sweet, and it's usually ice cream, it might be pairing that ice cream with some cut up bananas or some berries and make yourself a sundae. And so you're gradually eating more fruit and less ice cream.
And hopefully working yourself up to replacing that ice cream altogether. For more information, talk with your healthcare provider or visit Mayo Clinic.
Here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars. I'm joined by AJ Forsyth. He is the co-founder and CEO of iCracked. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And it sounds like you've been an entrepreneur for a while now. Tell me about some of the other businesses that you've owned.
Yeah, absolutely. So it started in college where I needed to make money to pay for tuition. And so the easiest thing we did was like, what are the things we need? We need wine because we love drinking wine.
Obviously.
And then I kept breaking my like smartphones. And so my brother and I ended up starting a winery early on in college and then growing that. It actually got fairly large. And then we ended up selling it back to the other founders. And then I started a beekeeping operation where we just make and sell honey. And bees are actually a really interesting business model because you can make money. I could talk about this for an hour, but you can make money collecting hives from people's backyards, selling the honey, and then renting out the bees to farmers to pollinate. So that was a cool small lifestyle business. And then I kept breaking my own smartphone. And after paying Apple $200 at the time for a repair, I was like, this is crazy. I broke my phone again, ended up taking it apart, fixing it myself. And then I started being known on campus as like this iPhone repair man. And I just meet people in the dorms, fix their device. And what's crazy is it's since grown from one college campus at Cal Poly to we have about 4,000 active technicians in the U.S. right now. We cover about 93% of the U.S. population. So anytime you break your phone, you put in a request at our website, and then we'll send someone to you to come fix your device on the spot. It's a really cool service.
That's incredible. So you basically found solutions to your own problems.
100%.
And then it just kind of caught on.
Yes.
Did it feel organic, or did it feel like a lot of hard work in the beginning?
Definitely a little bit of both. So I think every business that I've been involved with, we never started it to grow a massive company. It was just to solve a personal need and generate a little bit of income. And it's actually crazy now that we have about 100 full-time employees and thousands of technicians all over the place.
Yeah, that's incredible. And you work with your brother at the winery and in some other capacities as well. What is that like, working with family?
Oh my, it's actually awesome. So the winery is called Rebel Coast, and he's the CEO of that company. So we started that in 2012. I'm pretty removed from it at this point, given how busy I am. But they are the coolest company. They make four different wines. They'll sell a couple hundred thousand bottles this year. And it is just like the funnest group of people. It's like a bunch of best friends working together, making and selling wine. So I'm very proud of them.
Yeah. So now that you've had that experience of working with your brother, would you ever work with family or friends ever again? Or do you?
Yeah, no, I would. So when we started out, we were working out of a basement in Sunnyvale, which is in Silicon Valley. And I remember thinking, like, we don't have the capital to pay real salaries. We weren't paying ourselves real salaries. And so the only people we could work with were close friends that actually believed in what we're building. And so we've definitely made some mistakes in hiring close friends, but then some of my closest friends in the world are my coworkers now. So I don't know what I would do necessarily differently, because you don't have much of an option. You have to go with people that believe in you and are willing to like put in blood, sweat, and tears into the company. But I definitely would be more suspect of hiring close friends if I were to redo it again.
Yeah. Well, who would you say is your number one mentor?
Oh, that's a great question. I have so many amazing and influential people in my life. I would say that I'd say probably my dad. So my dad was like, he's a CEO also of a plastics company in Boston. And I think he taught me to be curious. He taught me ethics, drive. But I would definitely say that he was the inspiration to actually like make the jump from working summer odd jobs to starting your own business. And I would definitely be thankful for that.
We're here with AJ Forsyth. He is the co-founder and CEO of iCracked, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars. So how would you describe your leadership style?
So that's actually a pretty complex question. So I do not think that I'm a strong manager. And in terms of like coaching and handholding. And so what that actually has led to is I've hired a lot of people that are fairly autonomous and masterful in what they're doing. So you hire people that you don't need to manage, basically, because they manage themselves.
You delegate and let them do their own thing.
Yes. And so I would say that one of my leadership styles is hiring people that are autonomous, can get direction, but not necessarily know the destination, but they'll figure out how to get there. I'd also say that I like really value having fun at work. I think life's too short to ever work in a job that you don't feel like you're put on earth to do that. And like why work if you're not having fun and do the best work of your life? We also work incredibly, incredibly hard, but I don't think that is unique to us. But we definitely value a good, strong work ethic. And then also, like, we're just passionate for, we're all people. And don't work with people you love working with, basically.
I feel like the common thing all entrepreneurs have is they're passionate. You have to love what you do in order to want to put in that time and energy, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So do you believe work-life balance is possible?
That's a funny question, because if you're doing what you feel like you're put on earth to do, mm-hmm. then there isn't a balance. It's like more of an integration. And so I get to wake up and like I smile I'm excited to go into work every day. And then like sometimes I just want to go home and like curl up in a ball and cry because the day was like so hard. But I wouldn't say that there's a clear like on and off switch, and
it's kind of constantly going on and off.
Yeah, so your focus is
going in different directions regularly.
So I'm very passionate about what we're doing. So we believe that technology should be easy, and so we want to build one of the world's last technical workforces. Where long term, right now we're in smartphone repair and tablet repair, but long term we want to build a company where anywhere on earth you can put in a request and one of our technicians will show up and install your like smart thermostat, smart locks. They'll solve your technology problems. They'll repair your electronics. And so in order, like, that mission's massive. And back to work-life balance, we want to hire people that are passionate about changing the way people care for their devices. So I wouldn't say there's an imbalance. I would say that there's just a deep integration of the two.
Tell me what a typical day looks like for you.
I don't understand how people can work super late. There's some people that, like, I love getting up at like 5 or 6 a.m., getting a couple hours worth of work done before the most of the office shows up.
You're more productive in the morning.
Oh my gosh, yes. It's just like after too much coffee.
you start to crash.
It's amazing. But we try to minimize meetings.
Do you go straight to work and go straight to the office, or do you have some kind of morning ritual? Or are you straight on your phone?
So I generally shower and
showering's a good thing.
I showered before this. our office is in Redwood City, which is south of San Francisco, and it's on a lagoon. And then I have a house across the lagoon, and so I can actually paddle boat to work.
I love it. Do you actually do that every day?
I do it probably half the time. It's a good little workout.
That's awesome.
But I get to the office, and then I'm inbox zero. So I clear out my inbox every day before I go to sleep and right when I wake up. And then I'm constantly on emails, doing a lot of interviews and trying to, like, one of the things I actually think that if your schedule's 50% full, that's the optimal schedule to have. So you have like free time to go around, talk to people, meet with people, see how you can support them, see how you can help them. So I have a very full schedule, but the best days are ones that when you can kind of just float around the office and drop in on meetings and see what's going on.
Absolutely. And what are three tangible takeaways that an aspiring entrepreneur can take away with them right now?
I would say, like, watch the product market fit very closely. So I'm reading a book called High Output Management right now, called by Andy Grove, and it's but the second one is High Output Management is a very tangible thing. It's one of the best management books ever written by the CEO of Intel. And then in the book, it's all about, like, how do you maximize the output of your organization? And a manager is defined by the output of his or her organization under them. And so I would say, like, work very hard to leverage your people, because when you're an entrepreneur, you can't do everything by yourself, and you need to figure out how you can leverage your organization to get done what the company needs to get done.
It's awesome. And going back to how you're telling me about your business plan and how it's had to evolve, how do you know that it's time to evolve? How do you get those cues and really just allow your business to grow organically?
You have these feelings that something has changed in the business, and the company needs to fundamentally change to follow that change, but you may not be able to put your finger on exactly what's changed. And so we're going through that right now, where we're turning from a nationwide smartphone repair company into a, like, smart home installation company, where you'll be able to press a button and we'll set up your thermostat, smart lock, doorbell, whatever. And if we don't change, then, like, what happens if there's an unbreakable phone that comes out and we haven't changed as a company? And so I think that you need to constantly be evolving and innovating on your business model.
And paying attention.
And change over time. Yeah, pay very close attention.
What the customers want.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Thank you so much to my guest, AJ Forsyth. He is the co-founder and CEO of iCracked. And we are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
Day in the life. Every day is different. A lot of it is on the road. What's wonderful now is that I get an opportunity to meet so many other female entrepreneurs who are equally passionate about their mission. Well, there were 26 FDA-approved medications for men, nothing for women, despite the fact that we've known about this condition since 1977. So I thought it was time that we got one on the board for women. And you can imagine me showing up, presenting the female Viagra to a room full of male investors, and often the discomfort with that. But in fact, that was exactly why we needed to be having the conversation in the first place. I think there are six choices you make. You have to choose to be an owner all the way through, an owner to the core. Choose to be bold, quirky, because you spend so much time at work, you better have some fun while you're doing it. I think you've always got to choose to be learning. Family, at least in my cultures and my companies, we're a very tight-knit group. And ultimately, you have to be appreciative of the opportunity you have to fundamentally change something for others. So our first project is working on a nail technology that if I dip my finger in the drink, it detects if there is a date rape drug. Basically, it changes color. And there's an example of great engineers come up with an idea that fundamentally changes it for women and puts power at their fingertips, literally, in what can be a powerless situation.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. Right now, get your first month supply for free. All you pay is just $5 for your medical consultation when you go to forhims.com/doctor. After that, it's just $30 for a month's supply. Sure beats paying big bucks for just one blue pill, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need an awkward in-person doctor's appointment to get the prescription. Hims has doctors online who can prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. It's affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/doctor. That's forhims.com/doctor for your first month for just $5. forhims.com/doctor.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available at the...
What are some ways to grow your business using Snapchat that maybe you haven't thought about? Cynthia Johnson's going to answer that question and share some of the ways that she does it. She's the CEO and co-founder of Ip City Media. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Cynthia, pleasure to have you on the show with us again.
Thank you. Yep.
Break it down for us. What are the different ways that you help clients, including your own business, use social media so they can grow their business, mm-hmm. their income, their impact, et cetera?
So again, this always goes back to goals and having very clear short-term and long-term goals. So we like to build these short-term goals. Yeah. I am not afraid to say that I think growth hacking is amazing. It's the fastest way to put yourself or your brand in front of the right people.
Growth hacking. People go, what the heck is that term?
Yeah.
But, define it for us.
So, for instance, on Twitter, you would create strategic lists of people you may want to communicate with. And you can follow them and send them messages. And it's amazing. Actually, I currently get about 15 to 100 emails a day. My email's in my bio. And what we'll do is, you know, okay, so they want to speak at this event. And this spans other channels as well. But we'll target people associated with the event. Anyone from the secretary to the CEO, it doesn't matter, you know, anyone who's ever spoken it before. Because building a brand is not about, I always, you know, tell people, stop trying to be famous and start trying to achieve things. You know, accomplishments are what we're after, not fame. If you're famous, you would be in Hollywood or you'd be doing something else. So, you know, achievable goals, knowing your audience. So who can help you achieve that goal, and then figuring out the fastest way to put you in front of them to create a conversation, because that's what the goal is at the end of the day, is valuable conversations.
And how do you facilitate, orchestrate, create these valuable conversations?
The first thing is making sure that the person's bio, their headshot, the profile images, not only are they in sync across all channels, but...
Okay, so contextual congruency for for how the brand wants to be perceived?
Exactly.
Okay.
And we like to leave a lot up to interpretation. So being very direct in this is who I am, this is what I do, and allow the sort of fluff aspect of it or the human element of it to come through in the content you're putting out or the conversation.
So less perfection. You don't need a big fancy studio to put your videos out. CEO and co-founder of Ipsity Media, Cynthia Johnson, is joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. We're talking about how you can use social media to grow your brand. We just started peeling back the layers on some different ways to do it. We were laughing about how easy it is to get started.
Yes.
You literally need a phone or a laptop and connection to the internet.
Right. You just need to start.
You just need to start.
And don't overthink it. Yeah. That is like the killer. That will crush anybody's aspiration because
especially if you're starting, you have no references.
You are your biggest, losing the word.
Bottleneck.
Thank you.
Critic,
yes.
Yeah.
And that's like every photographer will tell you, you never pick out the best picture of yourself.
Mm.
That's just how it is. Like, unless you look at yourself a lot, but it is because you're overly critical. And so just getting started, feeling it out, being open and transparent and make mistakes. Like, it's okay. You're human. Everyone makes mistakes.
Yeah.
Don't try to hide them. So that's one. And two, it's looking at who's in the room with you. Like you said, there are all these speakers here who are there for the audience and they're more than willing to participate. I used to host these Twitter chats 2 years ago, and people that would come to the chats and talk to me and, we were guest bloggers and just starting out. They're now Brian Fanzo and, Vincenzo.
Bigger people now.
They're crushing the live stream game and they found their way. And it's so amazing because, they reached out and they didn't say, how do I do it exactly like you do it? They said, I want to get involved and figure it out on my own because I have different set of resources. And so I've seen it work and it's amazing. But so that's one. And two is the most important thing is to not forget the communication part. It is all social media is a communication device. Respond to people. Start a conversation because you will grow your brand. You will achieve your goals and you will do much faster. Nobody wants 7 to 10 tweets, posts a day of, your branded content. Blog. No one wants it.
Yeah.
Not at all.
They want something that's relevant to their life, their situation, their struggles and aspirations.
Yeah. And the other thing is don't be so humble. If you do something and it's cool, if you get written up in something, if you're written up a Forbes, if you write for Entrepreneur or you're speaking at an event as you're talking here, make sure people know it because that's how you're going to grow and continue to develop is let people know what you're up to.
The cool stuff you're doing. It's tough though because, and I'm just aligning with the people that believe that. It's tough because we've been taught in society that bragging means you're cocky. Bragging means you're a jerk, which is a nice word. People use much worse words than that. But it's like, if you're the successful guy that gets, that's online. Like one of my buddies, Ty Lopez, he gets so much hate because he's strategically marketing himself by just showing his life.
Yeah.
Like DJ Khaled has like 10 million views. My buddy Ty has like 1 million. And people are hating on that. But it's what we're talking about is because it's like, if you get written up in Forbes, you can post that. Some people will be like, oh, you're bragging, you're a jerk. And other people, you're going to get lovers and haters. But I think the point of it is that if you don't have people hating on you to some degree, you're just not playing big enough and you're not stepping into your potential. And you're never going to have the income and the impact you're capable of. Because you look at anyone who's really wealthy financially and has massive impact and influence. They've got a lot of haters. Mm-hmm. They've got a lot of people that love them.
Yeah.
And if you don't have any now, you're not playing
big
enough.
Just block them. This is social media.
Just block them, right?
No,
but you got to be using social media in some capacity to grow your business and your brand.
Right.
We went over some tactical steps, but if somebody wants to learn more from you in whatever capacity it is, where can they find you?
So you can find me at cynthialive.com, ipsaity.com.
Well, thanks so much for coming on the show and sharing with our audience.
Appreciate it.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.